Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, your host for The Messenger, and I am delighted to welcome Dr. Richard Presser to the show. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
We're just great, and I'm just delighted that you're here.
Thank you.
I want to talk about a couple things. First of all, the challenge of awakening. I guess you haven't thought of it as a challenge before, have you?
Oh, absolutely, I have.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about the challenge of awakening. And, of course, you've written that marvelous e-book that we've spoken about before, which is your journey in the awakening. And we also want to bring into the discussion some of the information that we have been receiving from reading the records of individuals and also information that we have received from the conference calls that have to do with cherubim and the messengers of the Elohim. Richard, I guess it's been probably about almost a year that you've been attending the conference calls, hasn't it?
It's a little over. I think I started in March last year.
Uh-huh.
So it's a little over a year.
Yeah. Been quite a journey, hasn't it?
It's been huge. It's been just amazing. If you had told me in March last year that we all were going to be where we are and that I was going to be where I am, I'd have told you, you're crazy.
Richard, I have to say something to you, dear. I was not sure where this journey was going to take us. You know, as I've said before, they don't give us an operational manual. We just jump into it and start working our way through this thing. And then what develops is really a surprise to everyone.
It really is.
Yeah, before we start talking about your journey, I just want to make mention to those who would be listening presently. And when you are listening to this information, and I say to the listeners, you could be a cherubim or you could be a messenger of the Elohim, I can see you all stepping back right now saying, I could be what? Because we think of messengers and angels on such a high level with so many incredibly expansive abilities. And, you know, we walk over to the mirror and we look at our face and we say, gee, I don't look any different from anybody else. I don't have these remarkable abilities. And the last time I looked at my back, I didn't see any wings flapping back there.
Nor even a sign where they used to be.
No, and so when I say these things to you, you might be incredulous at the idea, but just to tell you why this might be possible is because when the cherubim, you know, the center of the cosmos where the creator of all resides is a tremendously far distance from here. The vibrational frequencies there are so much different from what is here, and spacing between the particles is so much further apart that when the cherubim left and they came down through the dimensions, they basically had to move into smaller spaces, which meant that their abilities were shorn from them as they came down through the dimensions. And when they finally got to Earth and they were to do their work, they really didn't work as one. They usually worked in groups, could be small groups, larger groups, and then there were cherubim who worked in the higher astral planes that helped to guard and set up the different programs from the cherubim on Earth as their working partners. And in that contingent, so to speak, there were two legions that were sent to Earth, and we are talking about approximately 44,000 souls in cherubim alone. I'm not quite sure how many at this point messengers of the Elohim were, because we haven't gotten into that yet. So the number is vast. And for those of you who would be listening to this, keep an open mind as we go through this discussion, because it is very important that you understand that, number one, you might be one of these messengers, and number two, if you are, you have three choices to make, because one of the choices is to go back home. So with that, Richard, let's get to your journey, because I feel that your journey and what you had gone through in the process of awakening is so similar to what other souls are going through. And if you could just kind of, I know we've talked about this before, but we always have new listeners. If we could just touch base a little bit about that period of time, which certainly seems like a long time ago, when things changed in your life and you had this sense that, okay, you're going to start searching for something different in your life. When was that? Can you kind of walk us through memory lane a little bit?
Yes, it was about 15 years ago, I suppose. I, at that point in time, I was running a pretty successful IT business. I'd built up with a couple of partners and finished up owning half of it and running it and employing a lot of very capable people. And you know, I was married to a pretty attractive lady at that stage with three gorgeous young kids and driving around in a Ferrari and, you know, all the trappings of one might consider success. And I remember standing in front of the whiteboard in my office one day, and it suddenly struck me that all the trappings of success that I'd been creating in my life was really endeavoring to fill this hole I felt in the center of me, and I realized I was failing to do that. And it was kind of like a double whammy, because firstly, I hadn't realized the hole was there until I realized that I wasn't filling it, and it was I guess in a sense you could describe it as an epiphany of sorts. And I, in hindsight, can look back and realize that's when the search began, really. It took a little while to build some momentum. My self-confidence began to desert me. I a couple of years after that, sold the business out to one of our suppliers in the U.S. I'm in Australia, in case you hadn't picked up my accent. And exactly. And in hindsight, realized that I pretty much set about destroying all that I'd created on top of this false self, if you will. I lost over $1 million in a year, and went through a divorce and finished up in a little yoga cult for a few years, and went through a period of about 14 years, I suppose, where really nothing worked. Having built a successful business, I thought, I can do all this again. Well, let me tell you, everything I touched, it was like it just turned to dust in my hands. And so I wondered, what on earth is going on? You know, there has to be some sense, some reason for why I feel the way I do, and yet I couldn't find anything to touch to make sense of in the world. It was an extraordinary period of time, really. And through that period, I guess I'd picked up somewhere along the path a sense that Archangel Michael had some involvement with my journey. I had done some work with a Reiki lady who was really the only thing that seemed to help, I suppose, to relieve some of the things that I felt. And in some of the sessions with her, I just have these intuitive senses of things which I'd speak in those sessions. One of them was, you know, I sense this journey has some connection with Archangel Michael. And she actually worked with with him in some of the work, and as she stood there, she said, well, just given the shiver that just went through me, I suspect you're right. And it was really that that had me find you, Carolyn, and because on your website was that connection. So I just decided to join one of your phone calls in March of last year, and the rest is history, really. It really was the starting point. Things started to unfold. You know, I asked a few tentative questions, and the answers that came back were undeniably accurate and about me in a way that I knew Carolyn certainly could not know. And so it continued to unfold, and it's just been truly extraordinary. And on one sense, you know, I mean, Carolyn has shared with me through her work that I am of the cherubim, as is she, and it was on excuse me, on one level a real surprise when that happened, and yet not, because through all of this stumbling through the dark, there's been this sense inside of me that there's some purpose behind all of this, that you know, I'm a little more than this physical being that I used to take myself simply as being. And so, yes, it's been a truly extraordinary journey from, in a sense, knowing nothing almost to almost finding myself at the center of this unfolding. It's truly, truly extraordinary.
Richard, I really thank you for sharing that story with the listening audience. And indeed, it was a very moving story. And you had been through some great trauma, losing so much. I was just thinking about losing that $1 million in a year. Oh, my goodness, that had to really been... And the family, I mean, everything that you went through would have been a very devastating point in your history. And I thank you for sharing that, because what I'm seeing now is so many souls are going through the same kind of, I don't know how to classify this. You can't say it's a change. There was a building up that you had accomplished. There was a tearing down and a building up again. And I see this in so many lives. The worldly aspect is being torn down, and as the building up is being done, it is of a spiritual nature. It's sort of like, to me, the soul knocking at the door.
Very much so. In fact, there's a wonderful book that I know you know, Carolyn, called Anna, Grandmother of Jesus, which is a channeled book by Claire Hartsong. And in that book, Anna talks about... in a sense, we all go through a crucifixion of our own, a resurrection and an ascension cycle, if you will. So the crucifixion play, in a sense, is an experience we all go through. And certainly, I can you know, I can ascribe my own experience as being very similar to that. So I think it is a very common process that people go through.
I think so, too. My crucifixion would have been when my son died. And for those who might be familiar with my work, he is on the other side, and he acts as my guidance. And I do a good bit of channeling. Actually, he's a cherubim also. Should we be surprised at that? And
not at all.
He is like the doorway and protects me from any... sources who wish to speak to me who shouldn't, and that's one of the things that he does. He also guides me through the different places where I travel and helps me to connect with information that I need to become aware of. And so that tearing down process, and that was a great tearing down process in my life also, because my marriage broke up and it was very difficult. I didn't lose $1 million, but it was the same kind of crucifixion on many other levels. And thank you for telling us about that, Richard, because in you telling what you had to say and my telling what I had to say, hopefully we can give encouragement to those out there who are going through what also can be called the dark night of the soul. So whether you call it a crucifixion or a dark night of the soul, it's very bewildering to people who are going through this. And I might add that those who are going through this, you might need to find some kind of help to work your way out. Like you were talking about going to a Reiki master, and that is certainly, Reiki is a healing process, one of the many healing processes that starts to help one to open up and question what is occurring in their life. A lot of phone calls that I get on the show, Richard, are people basically who are calling with the same thing, questioning why they are suffering the way they are and hoping to alleviate that suffering. I do believe it is the soul opening up the ego to this spiritual advancement. So, Richard, we have you at that point where you're starting to become aware. You're joining the conference calls, and I know that you're doing other healing. And where was it that you came to that process that you thought writing your ebook would be something that would be, should we say, a calling, helpful to others, showing the light to those who maybe were in the same situation you were in? So when was that turning point in your life?
Yeah, so it was probably around July last year, I suppose, when I began to wonder, how does what I'm beginning to learn get out there? How does this get shared with the world? Because I could see that what was being shared with us through Carolyn's wonderful work was information that really wasn't widely available to people. And there were also some other threads that I was aware of, I guess. And so I began to wonder how to get this material out. And so I began to wonder if there was a way to get it into film. And I happened to know, in a very roundabout way, the director of The Secret, because the people who made The Secret actually come from my hometown of Melbourne, Rhonda Byrne and Drew Herriot. So I got in touch with Drew, and I said, look, there's this material I know about, but I don't know anything about making movies, I don't have any money. He said, look, there are follow-ons from The Secret that are coming out that are probably going to address it. Well, in a sense, that door was closed, and I kind of put it to one side. And I, by that stage, had finally got a job and was earning some money. But also, I was focused on doing some trading. I mean, I had my objective was to take care of my financial position to some degree before I really, focused full-time on spiritual work. And I got to the point where this trading just wasn't working, and I got very clear that for whatever reason that I'd studied what I'd studied, it wasn't to trade it. And I just asked, inside of me, so almost in despair, what is it for me to do? And the ebook was just instantly there, and I said, okay. And that was probably late August, I suppose, or middle of August, and so I began sort of mapping out the threads of it, I did a bit of homework because a lot of the knowledge was already inside of me, I suppose. Did a bit of homework to just check up on some of my sources again, and then probably wrote it all in a focused burst of a couple of weeks at the back end of August, early September. It's a long answer to your question, but so that's the time frame, I suppose.
We're talking
September.
About your ebook. Let's give the title and give your website. Something of interest.
The ebook's
I really recommend that people go to your website and get the information about it, and and purchase your ebook, because I think it's of great assistance to people, especially when they find themselves in this place that you are, and I think, or were. I think there are many that are in that spot right now. So as you were ready to say before I interrupted you, Richard, the name of the website?
The ebook's called The Coming Golden Age and How to Prepare for It. And the website is www.thecominggoldenage.com.
I do like the title of your ebook. I think it's very appropriate. And I suspect that there's probably a lot of people who have this sense that something is coming, and perhaps something on a grand scale, but they don't necessarily know how to prepare for it. We touched on this before, but I think it might be a good idea to discuss it a little bit more now, Richard. What are some of the topics, or if you were going to pull out, say, a couple topics or resources that you have in the ebook that you feel in your heart is a good place to start, give us some thoughts on that.
In terms of what to do to prepare.
Well, when a person writes something, they usually have some areas that they really relate to and think is important. And
okay.
I was wondering what you felt was important.
Well, I think the in terms of getting some understanding of what's going on, my ebook's a good place to start, and frankly, some of your ebooks, Carolyn, are also wonderful material. Archangel Michael's book that you channeled and wrote was, I found, of phenomenal assistance to me. Yes,
yeah.
Earth History, Past, Present, and Future, which is...
He recommends that highly, actually.
I was just reflecting on it in the last week that I will go back and reread that, I think, because I'm looking from a very different place now than when I have... I've already read it a couple of times, but each time I go back, there is more that I see. And that really gives a wonderful map of what's happening. I think it's an extraordinary book. So that, in a sense, will give some perspective, I think, on what's unfolding. Because we do live in a truly extraordinary time on this planet. A time that's been foretold for eons. And it's, I guess, part of the thing that I found difficult, really, was to come to terms with the fact that this is indeed a special time. Why should this be special? Am I just making all this up? What on earth's going on here? And that's part of what the ego does, I suppose. Part of the ego's role, in a sense, is to build us up, and the other part is to pull us down. It's kind of a weird process. And really just recognizing that this truly is an extraordinary time in the history of the planet, an extraordinary turning point, is something that's important to grasp and understand. And that's why so many people are going through this kind of experience. That's really why over the last 30 years or so we've seen this explosion in people going to psychologists and psychiatrists and all kinds of modalities of trying to understand themselves. I mean, my parents, for example, would no more have gone to anyone like that than fly to the moon. And it's been such a change, and it really is as people have begun to look inwards, begin to try to make sense of who and what they are, that this explosion has happened. So my strongest advice is to begin to trust your inner guidance, to trust your intuition. If you open yourself to that guidance, it will guide you where to go. Don't ignore or suppress those inner nudgings, really, which might be gentle, or they might be very strong, as they were in Carolyn's case and my case. But you know, be conscious of those things, and simply take a step. Start looking. Start opening doors. I'm not saying the first place you look will have the answers, but if you keep looking, I promise you the doors will be there for you to find exactly what it is you need to find. It is truly extraordinary the way it works. I mean, I would no longer have forecast that, you know, the close work that I now do with Carolyn would have unfolded, you know, than, again, to use what I said, the flight of the moon. I it's just extraordinary where it finished up, and yet I can see that on some level there was a plan here. We just didn't know where that operational manual was. It was there all the time, but you can't see it. And that's why it's so important, just to follow those inner nudgings, those intuitive senses. And as you trust it, you will find it will become more powerful and more valuable to you.
I recall, if I can share this, with one of the conference calls that we did, I think this was Mother Mary who was talking at this point and having us walk through a little hallway of mirrors. Do you remember that?
Yes,
one? And you walked through one of the mirrors and you saw some of your past lifetimes?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
That was an amazing process. For me, there were in that process there were a couple of past life individuals, if you like, that emerged that I had no idea about, that were set free by that process. And the thing is, we all have those, if you like, skeletons in the cupboard, whatever term you want to use, aspects of ourselves that have, you know, if you are a cherubim or a messenger of the Elohim, is that the term you use, Carolyn?
Yes.
Then you will have been through some pretty difficult experiences on through your lifetimes on this planet. That is for sure. And some of that, all of that will be held in your makeup somewhere, whether it's in your DNA, whether it's, you know, in your etheric body, wherever it's held, in other ways, in the cells of your body, it will be carried by you, and it needs to be cleared, it needs to be freed, it needs to be understood. It's part of the process that we're all going through in various ways on this planet. And as I said, if you are from one of those groups, then you will have been on the forefront somewhere along the line and paid the price, because there are forces active on the planet, so-called dark forces, that have come and interfered, if you will, with the original plan of things for this planet. And they've been very keen to keep us well and truly in check and not allow the light to get up on the planet. So you will have paid the price for being on that leading edge. I know Carolyn certainly has.
I'm glad you brought forth the concept of clearing the etheric body, as this seems to be information that we have received over and over again from many of those on the other side, whether it's Archangel Michael or Mother Mary or the cherubim, that this is one of the things that is most important before we can begin our journey through the dimensions. So thank you for mentioning that. My case, I had many times been a Templar knight and been through many battles. And the victor always gets to write history, and they get to take care of the vanquished in no happy terms. And so this trauma that one goes through in these many battles, if it's not cleared in that lifetime, comes forth later to be cleared. And I personally have had so much clearing to do along this line, so many lifetimes, and I work with this constantly, and I've been doing this very intensely for some period of time. And it is because, as you said, Richard, the cherubim in particular, this had been one of their functions to hold back the dark, and so they had been through many of these battles. Fortunately for you and I, we've been clearing this before it got to a point where it affected the physical body. And from things that I see, many illnesses have a spiritual component of this nature. And so one of two things happen. We either clear this or it's going to interfere with us physically and become involved in the different systems of the body. And from my perspective, and I don't know about yours, Richard, maybe yours is different, my perspective has been that a lot of this has been centered around the emotion of fear. And fear seems to be the problem that I have had to release. Has that been yours also?
Absolutely. Fear and doubt have been far and away the most powerful things that I've had to deal with. But it varies from people. I mean, a lot of people have a lot of suppressed anger, which very often gets expressed as cancer. But yes, it's fear. Fear is a biggie, almost inevitably for anyone that's walked the kind of path that we've walked.
Thank you for bringing up that point of anger, because I had forgotten about that for the moment. In the past, when we went through these different challenges, we knew that we were working for the light, and when the dark overcame us and we were subjected to very unfortunate manners of death and torture many times, there was this element of anger because we felt we were abandoned. And I know that has been a force with me too, and I suspect people who are listening to this, they also might have uncovered those two problems, or maybe not be aware of it yet. Folks, we're going to open up the lines now. If you would care to call Richard and myself, that number here, and it's toll-free. Imagine getting a toll-free number today to come and join the conversation. If you're in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. We do have a Canadian line also, which is 888-815-7750. So feel free to call. We're going to get into another aspect that has to do with the cherubim. But before we get there, Richard, you have some remarkable information that you have in the ebook. And I'd like to cover a few more places with your ebook. I do certainly acknowledge what you say about opening up and trusting, because this seems to be a great stumbling block that people have to get over when they first start to become aware of their spiritual nature. They constantly doubt themselves. Did I hear this right? Did I sense this right? Am I doing it right? So I thank you for bringing that up. I think it's a very important concept. So going through the ebook, is there another area, because I know you've got a lot about science and some of the esoteric information that you have in this ebook, what else would be something that you thought particularly interesting?
Yes, I guess what would be useful would be just to spend a moment explaining the kind of path that it walks, because where it starts is, I guess, in what modern science is telling us about the nature of our reality. And if any of the listeners have seen What the Bleep, for example, I think it's a good introduction to what the science is saying. Modern science is very much telling us that the nature of our reality is holographic, if you will. It's certainly not solid the way we take it to be. It pops in and out of existence at an extremely rapid rate. Even though we take it to be permanent, it's not. That in fact, everything that we take as solid is made up of mostly space, if you will. And that ultimately everything is all part of the same oneness. And really, in a sense, that's a wonderful stepping off point into what spirituality is telling us. And so I use that really as a stepping off point and begin to talk about some of the channel material that's come through, particularly the work that Carolyn has done over many, many years, and sought to then correlate that with a lot of what is confirmed out there, quite a bit of which Carolyn had already done for herself, because she's been very thorough in looking for the evidence of what's been given to her in this domain. So in a sense, she's done, if you will, that reality check in this domain for the things that have been brought to her. So that was a good launching point, if you will, for the work that I did in that space. But for me, in a sense, the e-book is kind of this path for people who are beginning to look in a very, as I was, grounded in the world of science and so on. I'm an engineer by training, so I kind of started out in that space, and I came to realize is that the science that was taught to me simply denied really a spiritual understanding that was amongst many, many scientists back in the early part of the 20th century. And all of that is completely ignored, if you will, in the science that was certainly taught to me, and I suspect is still taught to people going through school and so on. But it set up really as a path for people who are beginning to look and beginning to question, if you will, and lead you through in a way which is verifiable and understandable into what kind of information is coming through on a channeled basis. Because there has been a real resistance to channeled material in our culture, in our society, driven in part by what the church has had to say about it, what's in the Bible in relation to channeling, it's of the devil and so on. So there's a very, very strong resistance to that information, which is one of the reasons that I did the kind of verification I did. On another level, the thing that's perhaps really humbled me in relation to the ebook has been the response that some people have found in reading it, the energetic aspect of it that people have written to me about, which certainly I take no conscious credit for having put in there. It's not something I consciously put there, and yet it's clearly there. That's been very, very humbling to find. And as Carolyn knows, after I finished writing it, when Mother Mary came on one of the calls and told me that she'd guided me in writing it, just blew me away.
So you were cooperating with the essence of your soul mission without realizing it.
I was.
And I guess because you didn't have enough faith in that, Mother Mary had to step forward and say to you, I was there along with you every step of the way.
Yes, I mean, certainly when I wrote it, there was still a lot of doubt in me. And let me be frank, I'm a long way from sitting here saying, I've got it all sorted. I certainly don't. It continues to be a journey where I feel my way and try to make sense of it all. I still get messages from channeled sources that blow me out the water in terms of, you know, what's going on and what I'm about and so on. It continues to unfold.
You know, what you're really talking about, Richard, as I see it, is confirmation. There is something about the human ego that we need confirmation on some part of this journey. Even though we trust, we like to feel that, oh, okay, we want somebody to pat us on the shoulder and say, yeah, you're doing it right. And that is something marvelous that when you work with a healer or an energy worker, or you go on a conference call and you have individuals from the other side speak with you, giving you this list of confirmation, it really does, I believe, help one to accelerate. And
absolutely.
Yes, those kind of confirmations are wonderful, and if you're going to get a confirmation, why not get one from the Queen of Heaven?
Yes, it was. I'll never forget that moment.
Yeah,
it was pretty. It's pretty special, and you know, a subsequent one from Yeshua himself was also pretty extraordinary.
Which one was that?
It was also on one of your calls. I asked a question in relation to how would, you know, people deal with all the clearing that needed to be done, given some of us have been doing it for 15 or 20 years. The answer that came had two parts to it. The first part was essentially an answer to the question, and I'm not sure who gave you the response, basically mm-hmm. saying that the clearing process is accelerating. And a lot will be cleared for a lot of people in the next year or so, and the kind of process that many of us have gone through really would not be required, and obviously there wouldn't be the time for it. But at the end of the call, at the end of the reply, your voice changed and you said, go forward in confidence, know that you are doing what you are destined to do. You will have all the support you need. And then you said, and that was from Yeshua. That blew me away too.
He is such a dear soul. And as you know, so many on the conference calls have walked with Yeshua, either in that lifetime when he was known as Yeshua, or in some of the other lifetimes that he participated with on the planet. Getting back to your questions on the conference call, Richard, one of the things that has struck me is people who come to the conference call and they bring forth these questions, such extraordinary information comes from them. And we have such wonderfully spiritual people who are walking the path, who are really questioning, who are really looking for the answers, and when they ask these questions, I am so overwhelmed so many times by the answers that come through.
Yes, they have been truly extraordinary, as you say. I mean, the nature of the roles that the people on the calls have played over time, and as you say, the kind of information that comes through is just amazing.
One response that I remember was with one of our conference calls that Yeshua was on the call, and one of the people asked him, I can't recall the exact question, but it had something to do with how he felt about certain things, and one of them was, he was talking about how the people were in poverty, that they were so poor because of the taxes that had come, was being taken from them, the resources to pay the taxes. And so some of the people were so involved with just being able to keep body and soul together that they had a hard time following the search for spiritual information. And I remembered some of his words about how he became discouraged, how he was tired sometimes during the long walks that he did covering the countryside. And there, to me, it was such a closeness there of the human aspect of what he suffered through on a day-to-day basis. And then he talked about how he looked into the faces of innocent children and how their laughter helped to remind him of who he was. There were moments like that that I just thought was so precious. I felt so close to Yeshua when he was telling that story.
Yes, it was pretty profound, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes. And, of course, on the conference calls, when you find out your different relationships that you have lived with these individuals, has been, for me, very profound also. And you
me
probably
too.
Got some answers like that, too, yourself.
I did. It's... It's been is a truly extraordinary journey as it begins to unfold and open up. And what's interesting, as because I've done quite a lot of clearing work as well, as you know, and one thing that's kind of set there for me as I've done that work is that underneath all that's gone on in all the lifetimes, there's been this kind of thread of knowing something, and I didn't really know what that knowing was, but something. And I see how that's sort of come into this life as well. It's like on some deep level I've known something is going on that's much deeper, and known something about myself in relation to that, but, you know, it wasn't expressed. And it feels like, you know, that's really beginning to waken up in this lifetime, and it's such a confirmation, really, and I'm sure that process is occurring for everyone that's participating in this work. It's and it's, you know, there are lots of, it's become very clear that there are a lot of people who in this lifetime came to participate in this work who for whatever reason haven't stepped into it. And if you feel that's there for you, then trust that inner prompting and step. Step into it. You will find out if it's real or if it's not. And the only way you find out is by engaging and stepping and looking under the rocks of yourself and seeing what's there. It will emerge.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Richard, because it reminds me of something. The people on conference calls, we have several from your beautiful country, Australia. We have more here in the U.S. because I'm located here probably, and it's easier for people to make a phone call and join the group. We also have people in Europe who come to the conference calls, and something that we have been told, as you would agree, there's tremendous amount of energy that comes from the other side to us. I mean, I know sometimes some of this energy just takes you to such higher dimensions. It's hard to explain to people who haven't experienced this. But one of the things that's happening is this energy is coming to the individual callers, and it goes through them to the core of the earth. And so one of the things that's happening is, from the spirit's perspective, it's helping to balance the planet. So we are doing, besides great personal work and growth, we're helping on a planetary level. It's helping to balance the earth, and these energies come through us into the earth and then go back up into the grid system, and it is helping to increase the light force around the planet. And if people would join with this, what that effort does is that light then is reflected back to humankind, and it is helping to hold back the dark forces. I don't know the word to use, how I feel when I know that picking up a telephone and being an instrument to the spiritual hierarchy is performing such profound work. You probably feel the same way about that, Richard, I would think.
Look, I do, and I just would like to take the opportunity, Carolyn, to acknowledge the extraordinary, extraordinary role that you play in this work. You are making it possible for the rest of us to participate in this wonderful work. So, we in a sense, on one level, are passengers in the extraordinary work that you're doing. And I don't mean to belittle our roles. I simply am saying that without your extraordinary gifts and your extraordinary contribution, the rest of us could not participate in the way that we are. And it is truly profound work that is being done. Coming back to March last year, if I had any idea, I mean, I had no idea that we would be doing the kind of work that we are in the way that we are, and it is truly, truly, truly profound, both on a personal level and to realize the impact that the work that we're doing is having for the planet and for the future of the planet. It is truly a humbling, profound experience.
Well, it truly is, Richard, and I thank you for saying that. I feel very deeply for every gift that a person has received, there is a responsibility. And I have received gifts, and in return for that, I have certain responsibilities that I work very hard at upholding. But I also realize on a very deep personal level, these are truly gifts. They come from God, and all that I am doing is cooperating with our Creator, and it is the Creator's path that is makes for this beautiful journey. And unless it is our cooperation with our Creator that brings happiness. No matter what we sacrifice to do this, the only way that we find true happiness is to be a vessel for the Creator.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. And the last conference call, I have to touch on this before we get on to the cherubim information, Richard, is that last call that we had with Archangel Michael and Master Kathumi came and Yeshua. We again worked with the standing wave. And this was connecting the energy of the standing wave to the mind so that we could manifest our dreams and our desires and manifest the agenda of the spiritual hierarchy. And I didn't expect that either, but I really got a chuckle from that, Richard. Like, what's going to be next now?
Yeah,
what
absolutely.
Agenda do they have?
A few projects, plural, was was mentioned. It will be interesting. It will be interesting to see. You know, it's
right. Like we have been saying, this is an unfolding, and I feel like so much has already happened with the energies. I felt after a year of this work that we have been doing, that conference, this last conference call, made me feel like all of that was just a foundation and a stepping stone for what is to come next. Did you feel that way?
Yes, I did. And I mean, there's been so much initially, so much clearing work, and then really so much energy that's come through, transformational energy that we've worked through to get to this point, and then to experience the power that was in that call on Thursday. I mean, as you know, I put the phone down, and here it was about midday when the call finished. I went and slept for well over 2 hours. I mean, admittedly, I had a bit of a cold, but it was in response to the energy. It was the only thing to do was to go and allow my system to absorb the extraordinary energies that had been given to us.
Well, Richard, my crown chakra was tingling, so I had to go to bed. Right after the call, I did the same thing. I went to bed for the night. The next morning, I got up. I just had to get away and do nothing. I just picnicked, walked through the park, and just played the whole day. I couldn't contemplate doing anything else, work of any kind. I just felt like there was some kind of integration that was going on. But I just wanted to do nothing that next day. It was truly an amazing process. I'm going to invite those, again, to call. Our phone number here is 877-876-5227. And before we change our direction, so to speak, I would like for you one more time, Richard, to give the name of your ebook and the web page, because I think this is extraordinarily important for people to go visit your site. And if you have any sense at all that there is some emotional attachment to it, please buy the ebook. I think it is something of such great value that it would really be worth your time and effort.
Yes, Carolyn, the ebook's called The Coming Golden Age and How to Prepare for It. And the website is www.thecominggoldenage.com.
Thank you, Richard. Now, before we move on, is there any last thing that perhaps you might want to mention about the ebook that you didn't mention before? Some thread? I mean, there's so much information there. Anything that kind of presses forth?
No, other than to say that I, again, have just been humbled by the kind of response that I've had from people, so many people that have been searching for something to, in a sense, tie some threads together for them, and the responses from people in that way have just been truly, truly humbling. I'm just so pleased I was guided to put it out there. It's been extraordinary.
I think what you're experiencing here, Richard, is when a individual cooperates with their mission, and this certainly is, the ebook is part of your mission. You were under the tutelage, for lack of a better word, and protection with Mother Mary encouraging you to write this. There is a happiness and a satisfaction that comes out of that that one cannot describe. And I think you are describing this on a certain level. You're talking about humbling. You're talking about really the awe that you feel from the responses of people that you've been able to help and who have been inspired by the words that you have written. And I would just like to add to that that any time, I might be repeating myself, but I think this is so important, any time you follow your mission, you follow your goal, there is rewards and riches beyond anything that you could have imagined. And I think you would agree with that, wouldn't you, Richard?
Absolutely.
I wanted to move a little bit into, I'm hearing a sound, and I don't know if this is some extraneous sound or if somebody's trying to beep in and talk to us. Is there someone trying to connect with us?
Hello?
I thought I heard. The beep was very low, and I wasn't sure I even heard it. Who's calling, please?
This is Lila.
Hi, Lila.
Hi, honey. I just wanted to second everything that Richard was saying about you, how much that we are indebted to you for leading us and guiding us this way.
that's kind for you to call in and say that. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I also wanted to ask, did you want us to ask you about whether we were cherubim or something today?
Well, I don't know. Did you have that question?
Well, I'm wondering. I don't know.
What are you feeling, Twyla? You say you're wondering. What are you feeling about that?
I had no idea that might be a possibility for me, so I don't know.
So you don't have a sense of if you might be a cherubim or if you might be a messenger from the Elohim? Do you have a sense of that?
I don't know which. No, I don't.
When we were on the last conference call, the individuals from other planetary spheres came in and overlighted their messengers. Did you have a sense of a connection with that?
No.
The cherubim did not have individuals come in to overlight them, but the cherubim should have seen a white light moving from their heart chakra to the messengers of Elohim because they have worked with them. Did you have this sense?
I didn't experience that, no.
Okay, so you were tuned out for the moment. Let's see what we can find out from the records, Twyla, what your, shall we say, soul origins are.
Okay.
And I am going to describe this because there might be some people listening who do not understand how this works. The records are in the center of the cosmos. They are in care. The cherubim have them in their protection and in their care. And when I send a part of my mind to the center of the cosmos, what I see there when I make that connection, I close my eyes and I see the cherubim, one of the cherubim. Sometimes there's more than one, but in this case, it is one. And what they usually do is they have the individual's record, as this cherubim has Twyla's record. And what I'm sensing from this record is this great joy that I am experiencing now. And what I get from them many times when I look into the records is the emotional response. This happens sometimes when I'm talking to people from the other side. There is the emotion of this. And in your record, there is this joy because what I am hearing from the cherubim now, first of all, they've got your record, but there is so much light around it that I'm having difficulty seeing the color of the cover. Of course, these records aren't books in the sense that you have a book in your library, but they do show me energetically a color. The cherubim's color is like an aquamarine, what would be in an aquamarine stone. And these are the cherubim who work with the records. They usually have a gold edge around it. The other cherubim that carry the vibrations throughout the cosmos, which is God's love, literally. Their aquamarine color goes more into a deeper greenish tint to it. The light is still coming forth from your record, Twyla, and I'm having trouble getting beyond that. Maybe what I need to do is ask for a clearing. They wanted to, the purpose of showing this light is they wanted you to know that you have always stood steadfast in what you perceived was your spiritual
journey. I can't hear you right now.
Many of your lifetimes have been very difficult and challenging for you to be able to stand in, follow what you felt was your mission, and you were always very intent on following your mission, and that's why they were showing all of this light. They wanted you to know how much you have gathered in the higher dimensions, fulfilling your missions and loving God. And that's why they were showing the light. Now, they're going to clear the light away so that I can see the cover. And Twyla, it always fills me with such great joy when I see the cover of the cherubim, and there is your cover with the aquamarine cover. It has the gold edges around three of the corners, and in the middle there is a very large gold, it's not quite a medallion, it is more elongated, and it is very lacy looking. It is part of the sacred geometry that is telling you and telling them that Source many times had asked for your record and had reviewed it, and the emblem that is on the front is sort of like stamp that Source leaves there when Source has reviewed the record. And so they are saying, it is our very great pleasure, dear sister, to show you your record so that you do indeed know that you came from us, and we excitingly and passionately wait for your return. So, Twyla, darling, you got the message.
Wow. Fantastic. I never
knew. Okay, my darling.
Thank you so much. God bless you, honey. Oh, and thank Richard, too, for all that he's sharing.
I know. Richard
thank
is
you, Lila.
A wonderful soul, isn't he?
He's my brother.
Goodbye, brother. I just love it.
Bye, Lila.
Bye, honey. God bless
oh,
you
oh, my.
Thank you.
That was an interesting moment.
It was very special.
Mm-hmm. And so that leads me into some work that I am receiving from the cherubim. You know, with all of this channeling, I have so many sources that want to bring forth information that I can only do a little bit each day on it. And the cherubim are literally giving me a book. So far, I've got 21 typed pages. But we've got another caller before I get into that. Okay, and this caller's name?
This is Ruthann.
Oh, hi, Ruthann.
Hi. Hi, I just, while you're on the subject of the cherubim, I thought I would call in because I was also on the call. And I had the experience, I was trying to perceive the energy of the support teams, and I wasn't sensing that. Instead, I did intuit a white light, and I was just wondering, you know, if...
Okay, you're talking about the last conference call.
Yes, uh-huh. The yes, you were just discussing this with Lila and Rob.
Right, and so you were on the call, and you weren't sure whether you were overshadowed by someone from another planet or if you were a cherubim. Is this accurate? Is
yes,
this
that's
question?
Accurate. And I think it would help me to know, to understand that about myself.
Well, I would agree with that, Ruthann. I think when we find out these things, it really gives us a lot of support. So let's see what we can find out for Ruthann.
Thank you.
This is the same. Yes, you were on the conference call last Thursday.
Yes, uh-huh. And we talked about that
right
on Thursday. Uh-huh.
Yes, and by the time I had been finished with that, I was so zapped I couldn't do any kind of connecting anymore.
I can imagine.
I was overwhelmed with energy.
It was very intense, very powerful, and beautiful.
Yeah, I was well, usually I am in an altered state, but that particular day I was in an altered state.
I can imagine.
Okay,
it was extraordinary.
I'm going to send my mind and connect with a cherubim. I got to chuckle with this one because usually, Ruth-Ann, when I see the cherubim, I usually see them in white.
Uh-huh.
I have never seen them in another color, and this cherubim is standing there in an aquamarine robe. I don't know if this is their sense of humor or if there's something else. Let's see what this one says. She has a robe. Like I said, it's not white. It is this color of aquamarine. I've got to describe her to you because she's so beautiful. She's wearing around her head a wreath of flowers.
Oh.
I've never seen them with a wreath of flowers either. This is,
interesting.
Yes, and I would suspect that that's part of the mission, because of the message. The fact that she's got this wreath of flowers on her hair, and she's suggesting she has a belt, which would be more in line with calling it a cincture type. You know what I mean by a cincture, don't you? It's like a rolled rope-like. And she's wearing this cincture around her waist, and that is like a gold rope. So do we have some thoughts here?
Oh, my goodness.
And this, in addition to having this golden cincture around her waist, she also has this gold that's almost like crisscrossed over her chest, like an X.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The same kind of golden rope. And she is wearing, this is very unusual because they don't usually show this aspect, and there's a reason for this. She also has a gold piece of jewelry on her left arm. It's not at the wrist. It's above the elbow. And as you might suspect, you are one of the cherubim, but she is saying that unlike some of the other cherubim that have been warriors in the past, that your path, you have worked mostly with Isis. And that is why she was showing me the band around your, like this band around your arm, because the initiates of Isis wore this. It was the initiate at the very highest level of initiations wore this emblem on their arm. And the flowers that she is wearing in her hair, she says, is her gift to you. It represents the crown of representing the crown that you had accumulated through your many lifetimes working with Isis, and this was a special honor for your past work. So, Ruth-Ann, what a lovely message.
Oh, I'm just overwhelmed. That's just beautiful. Oh,
yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing this with me. It's a tremendous help.
You know, I'm glad to be able to do this for you because, yes, when you hear things like this, you know, you strive, you try to do the right thing, and you wonder if you're getting ahead, and you hear a message like this, and it's like Richard says, there's a thread in all of your past lifetimes, and you realize that that is coming forth in this lifetime also. So, yes, you're connecting to your past glories.
Oh, my. I'm filled with such love. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Ruthann.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Oh, so, Richard, doesn't it just make you feel warm to hear all these things?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah. How people have participated in the past and how we're coming together to form this group of participating now.
I think the other thing that comes out of what's just happened, Carolyn, is for those people listening out there who have doubt about who and what they are and what they're about, I mean, what we've just heard is two people who've been participating in the calls with you who still had those questions and had very little sense of, visual experience on the calls as I don't either. And yet, they found within them, sufficient drive, if you will, sufficient trust to step into what we're doing. And it's only now that they've just got confirmation of, you know, why they have felt that, why they're really here.
Yes.
And so I think that, you know, those of you who are listening to this, who have that doubt and have that concern, have that wonder, take a step, because we've all stepped in exactly the kind of place that you find yourself in.
You know, since we're talking about these things, Richard, something that I have to mention to you. You know, I've had my doubts also. I think it's human nature to have doubts. I can remember when I first started organizing Archangel Michael's conference calls, he asked me to do this, and he gave me a message. It was one of the very early ones. And so here I've set up this call, and I've got this message, and I'm saying to myself, what would happen if I go through all of this and he doesn't show up?
Yep.
And so, you know, I've had those doubts also. But then after you do a couple conference calls and they are there waiting, you realize there was no reason for you to... I'm being distracted because Archangel Michael is standing in back of me. He's chuckling away. Oh, I have to gather myself together and see what he wanted to say. He's agreeing with us that human beings do doubt, and it is because so many times in the past we have set forth with stars in our eyes because we were following a path, we were following an urging, and we became involved with the work to feel that we were cut down in our prime before we had an opportunity to complete the work that was at hand. He's talking here about spiritual missions. And so time and time again, he is saying we came up and struggled against the dark forces, and so many times that we lost, so that in this moment of time, we are feeling this doubt. In other words, we have a hope. And what that hope is that this time we will succeed. We have the hope, but there is still this doubt because the physical body is remembering these past lifetimes when we weren't able to complete what we set out to complete. And he is holding up his sword right now, Richard, and he is saying, this time will be different. We will be victorious. My legions of angels are here, and my light workers are gathering. The light is accumulating in the higher levels, and it is already being reflected back to Earth. What you perceive as Earth changes, the hurricanes, the tsunamis, this is all clearing my most precious Earth. And for all that happens that seems negative, it is not. There are souls who know they are not able to complete the ascension at this moment. And so they are moving into the higher realms that we consider death, though we know there is no death. I promise to you, and he is now pointing at us, and he is saying, victory is ours. And with that, he's leaving the circle. Oh, I always feel so excited when he comes and chats with us.
It's profound, isn't it? Just very
yes.
special.
Yeah, so I guess maybe, I don't know, did you put that in your e-book, Richard, that this time we'll be victorious?
No, I didn't have those words.
Maybe you need to add that.
Perhaps so.
This time we will be victorious.
It's very interesting. I mean, as I expressed when I wrote it, even though it's expressed, I think, with a reasonable clarity inside of me, there was still a lot of doubt and uncertainty. And I no longer have any doubt or uncertainty in relation to the unfolding. What I do have doubt and uncertainty about is the timing of things and the nature of the detail of it and the nature and detail of my role in it, I suppose. In terms of any doubt about the unfolding, I don't have any anymore. I'm sitting on the edge of my chair waiting for the slipper to drop, as it were.
That reminds me of something I always say, Richard. I'm holding on to that strap on my chair so I just don't go off someplace. You know, there's so much
yep.
excitement being generated under this chair. I just hang on for dear life sometimes.
Yes, I can imagine. It's almost like a chair in a rocket ship.
Yeah, and it's got all of that high actin. No, what am I? Just forgotten the word.
High octane. Is that what you mean?
I've got all that high octane reserve underneath
yep.
of that rocket. Well, Richard, I had shared this with you, and I wanted to share this with those who are listening or who will be listening to this in the archives. And what this is, it's in this information that the cherubim are writing. And they are describing the brilliance of what God's love is as they receive it. You probably remember that about the ecstasy.
Yes.
Yes. And I wanted to share this with the people because I thought that it was so beautiful. And the reason that I wanted to read this, which I don't really believe in reading things so much as just talking about them, is I couldn't possibly describe this without reading it. And for those of you who may or may not think that you are a cherubim, just to hear this, what the relationship is between God and the cherubim, they are receiving love energies from God on a completely different level than what we are here, and they are describing what this is like. And I wanted to read it because I thought it was so beautiful. They talk about the brilliance that it looks like fire as it comes from God. And they talk about a diamond, how a diamond is cut in a manner so that the facets reflect the light for its utmost brilliance. And this is how this brilliance seems to come to them. And they say the light seems to be refracted through what seems like a tunnel as it circles and bounces towards us. It doesn't seem to come in a straight line, but rather it follows a pattern. And as it appears to tumble forth, it comes in bursts of brilliance, as if it is almost breathing as it is perceived on your level of experience. So it seems to pulsate. As it pulsates, it becomes more brilliant, so that we cannot face it directly, but rather we are transfixed if we try to face it directly. It is so overwhelming us that we fall down upon our faces at the intensity of it. From this core of brilliance, there seems to be fiery projectiles of pink that shoot out from the brilliance, and as it comes closer to us, the particles seem to not only intensify, but the speed of the projectiles become even faster. The bursts of light engulf us, and then there is the overwhelming sensation of ecstasy that fills our entire being so that we feel that there could be nothing else more intense until the next burst of pink projectiles hit us with another round of ecstasy. This is our life from an energy viewpoint. There is an ebb and flow to this emotion of love, and there is an ebb and flow from the highs of each point of ecstasy. And in that ecstasy, we feel that there is no other love or life that could be possible or desired but this continual state of ecstasy. So, my friends, I wanted to read that to you. This is from the perspective of cherubim and what they feel when they receive love from God and they pass it through the cosmos. So, that is quite, I don't even know how to put a word on that, Richard. I don't even think that fits profound.
Yeah, there's nothing to say, really. It's extraordinary.
Yes. And so, my dear friends, those of you who are out there who are cherubim, you left the cherubimic realm. We left this because we loved Source so much that we would come here to protect Source's creation. And I think perhaps, Richard, it might be a good idea to talk about why we came here because of Mardak.
Yes.
There, as this planetary system was being thought about, there became the thought that perhaps there might be the dark forces that would interfere with this creation. And as it came to pass, the first soul that was created after the cherubim and the seraphim was that soul that we know of as Yeshua, had another name, but is a vibration that we can't repeat or duplicate. Maybe that's the word. We can't duplicate that sound that is the name of his soul. And he went to the cherubim and asked for their help because they were masters of the vibration. And what he could see as a possibility was that there would be interference, and Mardak, instead of exploding, would implode, which meant that the creation would fall in on itself, and they didn't know how far back this would go. It could go all the way back to Source, that a part of Source might be interfered with through this implosion. They didn't know how much of the cosmos would be destroyed. And so the cherubim left to defend Mardak. We know that it was destroyed, but the implosion didn't come about, and what was saved was the cosmos. And that came such a long time ago. We do see the pieces of it in the asteroid belt, but another reason why those who want to go home need to be prepared so that they can go home. So there's three choices. We can reincarnate on Earth, we could go home, or we could go with Archangel Michael, who is working on the Golden Galaxy. So, Richard, I don't know what my soul has in store for me. You probably haven't determined that yet.
No, I'm no further along. I'm still trying to figure out what's going on here yet.
Well, they're spinning that chair around. You haven't figured out yet what's the next step going to be, huh?
No, I haven't. It keeps surprising me, is all I can say.
I suspect that that's part of the journey. You know, they keep talking about the part of this journey that we are on, that's part of the fun and the game, so to speak, of enjoying the journey.
Yes.
So I guess if we had all the answers, it might not be fun. You know what that might be like, Richard? You know, if you got a good book you wanted to read, and somebody told you the end of the story.
Yeah, very much like that.
I think it would be.
I got to say, it gets a little better as you start to get into the story, though. At least you've got some idea of the thread.
You know, I would agree.
Unlike when you're staring at the cover wondering whether you should pick it up and read it or not.
I've always been one who liked to have an overview. I don't have to know what is in each chapter, but I kind of want to know what the overview is. But I haven't figured that one out either. Folks, I have to tell you, Richard, do you know that we only have maybe 15, 20 minutes yet left to these 2 hours? Can you believe it has slipped away that fast?
It's hard to imagine, isn't it?
Yeah. Folks, if you're intending to call for whatever reason, talk to Richard about his e-book, wanting to know if you're a cherubim, or wanting to know more information about what the cherubim are giving out, then give us a call, 877-876-5227. I'm going to take something a little out of order because, well, we do have a call. And your name, please.
Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi. I was just calling. I've been going through some difficult times emotionally and physically, and I guess I just need to know or want to know if I'm part of what you're talking about.
You know, this is interesting because when Richard told his story and I told some of my story, we were kind of talking about events placed in our lives that sort of force us to look and see what the spiritual path is. And I suspect, Catherine, whatever your mission is that you're doing, supposed to be doing here, that the kind of problems that you're going through right now has to do with your own spiritual awakening. Now, these problems that you have, are they financial or are they family relationships?
Mostly health.
Oh, the health.
Yes.
Yeah. What I have found with health, and I don't know that you've come across this yet, Richard, is this clearing. If we don't clear energy bodies from past lifetime trauma, it does interfere with the health. But what I would recommend that you do, Catherine, I'm going to get the information for you that we can, but have you ever listened to this show before?
Just pieces of it here and there.
Well, after this, you're probably going to listen to more, huh?
Right.
What I would suggest, Catherine, is 2 weeks, 2 Saturdays from now, Charlene McNeil will be back with me, and we'll be working on clearing the etheric body and working on health issues. So I'm going to give you some answers now, but I really would suggest also that you call back then and let Charlene look into your etheric body and see what we can find out there health-wise.
Okay.
But I'm going to go to the cherubim now and see what they say. You're interested in health, but I think there's a couple other things here, is perhaps mission, spiritual path, and whether you're part of the group of the cherubim and the messengers from the Elohim who's being called to come to the conference call. I'm not sure that we can get all of the information for you, but because it's hard giving all this at one time on the radio. However, I will have a radio show tomorrow, and call in then for some additional information.
Okay.
That will be coming on starting at the same time also. So let's see what we can find would be the most beneficial thing for you right now. And I'm going to ask the cherubim to bring forth your record. And I'm connecting with them now. I got a chuckle with this. You know, people on the other side have such a sense of humor. As human beings, we don't realize the sense of humor that they have. And, yes, the cherubim is there, and she is showing me her sense of humor with regards to your record, Catherine.
Oh, my.
She's doing sort of like a little pantomime, showing me this very large book. And she's indicating here that you have been one of these souls who have journeyed through many dimensions, through many planetary spheres, who've had a lot of lifetimes that you've incarnated here on this planet. And the experiences, you see, all souls do not incarnate as many times as possible. Some go into periods of rest. They might stay in one place. She's saying that you have journeyed a good bit, and that's why your record is so large.
Right.
Let me see if I can see the... Oh, she's telling me to call in tomorrow to find out about your soul construction, because what's more important to you right now is to understand mission. And this is the thing that she says your soul wants you to explore right now, is mission. That the most important point here is you have taken on a mission that you have not begun. And this is the reason why things of this nature are happening in your life right now. So we've seen this before. Souls have a high path, a middle road, a low path, meaning the mission, when you follow your mission, it is the middle path. And she is showing me that you're not on that path yet, that you need to work with this, that you have a very great mission, and your mission, part of this mission is healing. The colors of your soul that were called forth when your soul was created, and she's showing me the wide ranges of the greens and the purples. Well, it would be like a deep purple. And that these are very healing colors, that this is the nature of your soul. You were created to heal. And part of that healing, my darling, what she is showing me is that you are a messenger of the Elohim. It is why you have this great urge and necessity to work on healing, that you have been sent here from your sources in the Pleiades, and you are here to be working on healing, that you have cooperated in the past with the cherubim, and she says she will give you more information on this tomorrow. So, my dear Catherine, what I would suggest is in 2 weeks, call back, with Charlene so we could help clear some of, it will just be the beginning because it's much more to heal than just one connection with an energy healer. But to get you started, to understand some of the past patterns that you have not cleared that's interfering with the health right now, and you are a great healer. You are a messenger. When you hang up, we'll talk a little bit about, because we haven't spoken too much about the messengers of the Elohim, how they got here and how they work and how they're involved here. So, Catherine, call tomorrow, dear. This, what's happening in your life now is an opportunity. And what that opportunity is to find your path, to find the spiritual road, and to connect with your journey. There are beings in the Pleiades who are watching over you. If you do join the conference call, they will help you to connect with them. This apparently is a very important part of your mission, to be able to be working with your sponsors. They're using the word sponsors from the Pleiades to work in this ending cycle here on the planet Earth. Well, my golly, Catherine, you got a lot today, darling.
Yes, I did. Thank you so very much.
Call tomorrow and call in 2 weeks.
I will. I will,
okay.
Carolyn. Thank you so much. Blessings.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Well, Richard, it's sort of like a miracle that unfolds, isn't it?
It is. I was just sitting here listening to that, and I thought, well, if nothing else came out of the time that we've spent here on this call, that has made it all worthwhile.
Oh, how sweet you are to say that. Yes, when you are able to participate in someone's awakening or in some part of their life, it truly is an elevating feeling that one feels. I'd like, since we talked a lot about cherubim, Richard, you were on the conference call when one of the members of the group asked, well, what is the name? What are we called? And it's when I can't recall who gave us this information, whether it was Archangel Michael, Yeshua, I can't recall, but they we were told then that the name of the group was the Messengers of the Elohim. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And before that, Yeshua talked about the conference table of the Council of 12 that sat around planning what would happen with planet Earth. Now, keep in mind that in any part of creation, it is always with the cooperation of Source, Source's directives, using Source's energies and following the universal laws that Source set forth. But because we are all particles of Source, we are given certain abilities that we are able to do. And during this planning of this galaxy here, and this planetary system in particular, that individual that we know of as Yeshua was on the planning team along with the Council of 12, and they planned what was going to be the overall view of what would happen in this experiment. And the Council of 12 was representative of many communities in the galaxy here, and they offered the best that they had from their particular planetary spheres to come join in this experiment. So they are the messengers of the Elohim here, but they have all come from other planetary systems, and they are here to cooperate. There's a cooperative effect between the cherubim and the messengers of the Elohim, and this ending cycle is particularly important. And it's one of the reasons why it is important to know if you are a messenger or if you are a cherubim, because your choices are going to be a little bit different from one another. Wow. You know, we've had all this talk for almost 2 hours, Richard, and we really didn't get through and very little information on this, what I got from the cherubim. But, you know, that's okay, because this will be going on an ongoing basis.
It's an unfolding, isn't it? And it's an extraordinary unfolding. I mean, there are so many. I mean, what was the number you mentioned of cherubim that are participating?
2 legions, 44,000.
44,000. So, you know, there are lots and lots of individuals on this planet who on some level are wondering about this, are getting prompted in some way, and so yeah, there's a lot to share, and hopefully a lot more people will awaken and participate in this work in whatever way that is for them to do.
Yes. What I have found, Richard, is each cherubim, even though there were so many of them, each cherubim had their own particular, I guess you would say, ability, or they were there for a specific purpose. Some of the people who call in on the radio show, Richard, they have asked about whether they're cherubim, and they ask about what their jobs have been. And for those who haven't awakened yet, they're doing a lot of work during sleep time. And I've gotten some answers, like some of the cherubim are working in sleep time with the energies that come from the cosmos. When we have these dramatically large blasts of sunspot activity, it is so much coming through at one time that some of the excess goes into pools of water, sort of like held in abeyance until some of the energies can move along on a more balanced manner. And some of the cherubim are working with that. I found that very fascinating.
That is fascinating.
So during sleep time, they're helping to integrate that energy, take off the excess energy, put it in like lakes and streams, that sort of thing. And then as the energy is integrate it, then pull that from the lakes and integrate that.
I tell you,
Richard, yes, it is. It is amazing. And, of course, some of the cherubim during sleep time are repairing the damage that's being caused by HAARP. You're probably familiar with HAARP, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Yeah. And so those fragments is causing damage in the troposphere, coming back down to the planet and even down into the core of the Earth. And so there's a lot of cherubim working with that. And this is interesting. Usually I go to the cherubim and ask a question, but this one is trying to contribute to this conversation. And what this particular cherubim is telling me is that right now a lot of the cherubim are working with Yellowstone. I don't know if you're familiar, being from Australia, I don't know if you're familiar with Yellowstone here. Are you, Richard?
Not in detail, Carolyn. I'm obviously, I've been aware of it as a national park for a long time. I understand there is a volcano based there, yes?
Well, at one time it was an exceedingly large volcano that erupted and collapsed upon itself, and they call that a caldera, and that is
yes.
What all of that steam is, and all of those displays of energy that comes out of the park, they were the vents that was part of volcano. It was it had to be extremely large because these areas in the park, I mean, it's an extremely large area. And so that when that collapsed, those vents where that energy and steam and all is coming out is what we see in the park. And what this cherubim is showing me is that during flea time, there is a lot of cherubim that are working with trying to contain that and balance it, that some of the earth changes and the damage in particular that caused not the tsunami from a couple years ago, but this recent activity with the earthquakes that have been in China and the damage that occurred in Myanmar, what we know of as Burma, has tilted, showing me an unbalanced situation in Yellowstone, and that there are many cherubim during sleep time that are working with that. And what she is telling me is what Archangel Mikael has also told me, that there are going to be some cherubim needed in physical form to actually go to Yellowstone and work there with him. And I suspect that he maybe is tapping me on the shoulder to do that one. So we'll see.
Yes.
Richard, we probably have one moment, dear. So much we didn't cover, but then there is another day, isn't it?
Yes, there sure is.
Before we go, give me your website and the name of your ebook one more time.
Sure, Carolyn. My ebook is called The Coming Golden Age and How to Prepare for It. And my website is www.thecominggoldenage.com.
Thank you, Richard. And you can, people who are interested in joining the conference call, any of my books or information there is at www.carolynevers.com. Richard, I'm indebted to you, dear. This was a remarkable show today, and I'd like to thank you.
It's been my pleasure, Carolyn, and thank you for the wonderful work you do on so many fronts, and not only the conference calls that I participate in, but these wonderful, wonderful shows where you make your time and wonderful skills and capabilities and knowledge. You have an extraordinary breadth of knowledge that you share with people, so thank you.
And thank you for the support that you have been. You have been a great support to me, Richard. So blessings and the light to you also. And for all of you who are out there listening, thank you. And those who have called in with your calls, thank you too. Goodbye, Richard.
Bye, Carolyn.
Goodbye, all. Until tomorrow.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.
Talk and love, talk and